gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." There's a lot in here I could teach you about. I'm going to try to behave myself and stick to my message. I love the Passover story. And they were not just celebrating like we are, the Lord's Supper with the cup and the bread. They were celebrating the full Passover meal, which the Lord required of them. And it started back in the book of Exodus, you know, when they applied the blood to the doorposts, and then they were to eat the lamb. And then the Lord delivered them out of Egypt, out of slavery. Well, what do you think that, you know, the Lord is a wonderful teacher and he's a wonderful father. So, of course, he's going to want us to remember what happened. You know, we forget. And, you know, part of the Passover service, the children ask questions, well, why are we doing this? And why are we going to do that? But we have to tell the children. If we don't tell the church, tell the children what's happening to the church, there's no one to pass on the legacy of what Jesus has done for each one of us. So I already went way off my thing, but I just felt like I needed to tell you that. And in verse 29 it says, "I will not drink of the fruit of the vine." He did not say the wine, he said the fruit of the vine. Now Jesus held up a cup and he called the contents, you know, what I said just now. So it was the true blood of the grapes. It was the pure grape juice. You know, if you think of wine, how is wine made? It is fermented. Jesus' blood is pure. It is without sin. So they would have took like what we take. It would have been the juice. The blood of the grape is what it's called. I'm not saying there wasn't wine at the Feast of Passover. They watered it down so the kids could have wine, but they also used to boil the grape juice, and it would boil down. And so that kept it sweet, sweet wine, they called it. And then they could add a little water to that like we do to concentrate, and it made it pure. So that is what we use at communion. So Jesus ate a final Passover meal. This was the last one before his death. And he was with his disciples on the night he was betrayed. And this Passover celebration, like those before it, required all of the elements of a Passover meal. So there was unleavened bread and the wine and the roasted lamb and the bitter herbs. And there was the salt water that they had that you dipped your fingers in and that you dipped the carpus in or the parsley in to remind you of the tears of slavery. And it's also a great picture of going across the Red Sea on dry land. You know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful picture. So Jesus used the elements of the unleavened bread and the wine to symbolize the meaning of his own imminent death on the cross, thus our communion, the Lord's Supper. So the unleavened bread symbolized the cup, or the body, and the cup of wine symbolized his blood. So by doing this, he ordained a new celebration that would be the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And that has become an important ordinance. There's two ordinances that are very important in the Assemblies of God Church. One is communion, the Lord's Supper. It's ordained by Jesus. It says, "Do this, remember me, do this all of the time until I come back. The other ordinance is baptism, water baptism. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, the first thing that you should do is get baptized. We talked about baptism this morning in Sunday school, and it was so wonderful to hear Linda share her testimony of her baptism and how she felt so fresh and clean and new. And that's why those are called the ordinances. They're very important to the Lord. So I brought along the unleavened bread. And this is not a true piece of matzah bread. That's what this would be. I need to buy some, but I did have a card. And I'm just going to pass it around because I want you to look at it. It's got the scripture Isaiah 53:3 on it. And it says, he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So the bread represents everything that Jesus had to go through before the cross. And so actually the new birth or salvation is called sozo, and it's healing, body, soul, and spirit, and in your emotion. So I just want to pass this around to you so you can look at it. There is little piercings on there where, you know, the bread reminds us that Jesus was pierced for us. And then it also has lighter and darker marks on it, which represents the bruising and the stripes Jesus took on his back for us, for the forgiveness and for the healing that would come. So Don, I'll let you, Ray and Linda got to see it already, but just to show you an example, and that's the type of bread they would use, unleavened without sin. You know, because leaven always represents sin in the Bible, your yeast does, that's, you know. And while he's showing you this, excuse me, I wanted to share a little testimony from yesterday. I was busy studying and learning and trying to get prepared for the message and for Sunday school yesterday morning. And Don got up and he hollers for me. And he was so dizzy, he couldn't move. He was just completely, it was like he just got off of a merry-go-round or a major circle thing. He just had no control over, his balance was completely gone. And I thought to myself, oh, sure, that's just an attack from the enemy. We were going to be having communion today. We were going to be talking about what the bread does for us and about the blood. So I just stood my ground. I said, you do not have no sickness, no vertigo. I said, you are healed in the name of Jesus. And I got him sat down on the bed, and I covered his ears up, and I prayed with a mighty prayer. And then I went and I got communion, and I had him take communion. And as you can see, he was able to come today. He was able to minister through worship. And God is a good God. He is our healer. So take that, enemy. So Jesus himself, you know, he would be the lamb that represented the lamb that came down century after century in the picture of the true lamb who would sacrifice for our sins his shed blood. And this would be accomplished more than any other prior sacrifice. You know, every other year before Jesus took all of our sins and all of our iniquities, everything to the cross, they had to go year to year, and they always had to kill a lamb for every single year. So Jesus, his blood and body, became the purchasing agent of atonement, our redemption from sin once and for all. Praise God. I want to just You know, I want to share some scripture with you, starting with Ephesians 1:7, that shares some of the very things that I am sharing with you. So in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So God is good. His grace is wonderful. It's because of his grace. And then 1 Peter 1:18-19. For you know that it wasn't with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty ways of life handed down from you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And there's many others, but I wanted to look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. If you remember, when John was taken up in the spirit into heaven, they couldn't find anyone worthy to open the scroll. And it just caused John to break down, and he just wept because nobody was found that was worthy. But then a song broke out, and there is someone. And they sang a new song in verse 9 of chapter 5. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. And it was with your blood that you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. So rather than glossing over sin and having to find a lamb, Jesus' death on behalf of our behalf eradicated sin entirely. Jesus was the Passover lamb who removed once and for all the bitter herbs of sin. But what he left behind was the bread and the wine. That is the memorial. That is the new covenant. And it is what he is about to do for what he was to do for his people. So when you take the cup, you are saying, Lord, this is a symbol of your precious blood. And as you partake of the bread, you are saying, Lord, I accept the symbol of your broken body. Just as our confession leads to salvation and God honors our prayers of repentance, so likewise, the Father honors our act of faith when we take communion. It is a picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's why Jesus said, I will not drink this again until I, come into my kingdom. We will all go up, and the cup of consummation comes after that. I'm sorry, I study all of this stuff, all of the Hebrew things, but that's the cup of consummation. And that's the cup that is drank at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's the fourth cup, which we don't drink today. We are drinking the cup of redemption. But that day, we will be married to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, our groom, as the bride of Christ, pure and spotless before him. So Jesus is referred to as the Lamb 28 times just in the book of Revelation alone. So this is reminding us that his ultimate triumph in his sacrificial death and of his glorious resurrection. And John reminded us that Jesus alone has made it possible to enjoy a relationship with God the Father. You remember John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God, that's what he called Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world. He saw, he was the forerunner. And I want to look at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. And the whole book 52, 53, 54, I feel in Isaiah are very important because they prophesy 700 years before Jesus ever came to take our place on that cross. And it says in verse 7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shearers is silent. Wow. Why did Jesus have to go through such great lengths? Romans 3:10 tells us, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. We really don't like to admit there is something wrong, deeply wrong, in our souls. But until we acknowledge our need for help, we won't seek that help. Paul explains that we all need someone to rescue us from sin. But our only hope is in Jesus, God's own Son, who came to earth to die in our place so that we might have a relationship with the Father. It is only when we are honest with ourselves and realize that we need to be delivered from our sinful state and receive Jesus' work on our behalf and respond to him that we can receive eternal life. You know, I just want to interject how important family is to the Lord. You know, he created us so that he could have a relationship with us. And he loves us so much that when sin came into the world and that relationship was broken, he knew we could never get back to him. Not really. Not without him sending his son. So none of us have lived up to the teachings of Christ. Romans 6:23. This verse shares what sin is. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, it's a gift. A gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So what makes us worthy to take communion? The ultimate answer is a personal relationship with him. Communion is a sign that you have committed your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. His blood has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. His death broke the stranglehold of sin because Jesus not only died in our place, he also rose from the dead, hallelujah. So we actually, in this life, you just pass from a natural death into his arms. You're not even asleep. You're just there. It's powerful. Your eternal spirit goes to be with him. So, what makes you unworthy? People sometimes attend church and seem to appear to live for Christ. But on the outside, the rest of the week, they're not living for him. So if you are truly have committed your life to Christ, you'll want to surrender everything to him because you know how much it cost him. He gave his life for you. You know, sometimes it's difficult and it's hard. It's hard to follow him. But when we remember the price he paid, it is worth it. It is worth it all. Jesus' greatest assignment was to redeem mankind from sin. If you are not living for Christ, you must repent before God and confess your sins before receiving the Lord's Supper. This is an important thing. You must have a pure heart. You know, if you're holding unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart, as you prepare for communion today, take those things to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness. And if you've got unforgiveness towards someone, just in your own heart, say, Lord, I forgive them. I let that go. I let it go because it's not hurting them, it's just hurting me. So if you're not living for Christ, repent. You know, God, he's so gracious. You can repent and come to him no matter what. And he will come, like the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son, he will come with his arms wide open to hug you and to welcome you back into his home. In our scripture reading today, I just want to show you something. We read about the Last Supper meal that Jesus had with his disciples the night before his death. So during the meal, Jesus informed them that one of them would betray him. He broke the unleavened bread in half and poured some wine for each of them. And he used the elements to demonstrate what he was about to do. So notice something. He's going to put back up Matthew 26:22. Look at what the disciples called Jesus. It says in verse 22, they were very sad and began to say to him one after another, surely not I, Lord. So they called him Lord. Okay, let's look at verse 25. What did Jesus call Judas? Or Judas called Jesus. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely not I, Rabbi. Jesus answered, yes, it is you. So what does this tell us? 11 of the disciples called him Lord. One of them called him Rabbi. Judas did not see Jesus as Lord. He only saw him as a rabbi, a good teacher. So what do you call Jesus? Is he your Lord and Savior or just a great teacher? You know, people tend to follow the teachings of a particular person. And, you know, that could be anyone that we idolize in the church and with outside the church. You know, we got the big sporting event coming up tonight. You know, everybody's excited. But what are those commercials telling you? Are they focusing on what is good or what is evil? What are you taking in? And you know, it can be that you're idolizing a certain actor or actress. I'm sorry, Oprah, I'm using your name. But she said there was many ways to heaven. How many people who love and follow her believe that? We have to remember there's only one God and one mediator between heaven and earth, and that is Jesus Christ, our high priest, our Savior, our Lord. And we cannot listen to somebody that's going to tickle your ears. You've got to be told the truth. So Judas Iscariot's irreverence at the Lord's Supper opened the door for his death. Judas, who was one of the 12 disciples, dipped the bread in the cup and ate from the Lord's table. The Bible makes it clear that Judas was inwardly corrupt. Judas served as treasurer and was not concerned with the poor. He was very greedy. Let's look at this from the scripture in the book of John, chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. Because this tells us exactly who Judas was. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor. It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. That, to me, is, I don't know. I don't know how you can pretend like that, but Judas was actually a thief in his heart who was willing to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So according to John 13:27, the Bible says that Satan entered Judas' heart, and it happened during a very sacred moment in history. Judas had no respect for the sacred revelation of the blood and the body of Christ, just as Satan has no respect for the things of God. He was a traitor, and yet he pretended to be a part of Christ's ministry. We don't want to be a pretender. We want to be walking in the truth. So when Judas partook of the bread and drank from the cup representing the new covenant, the spiritual condition of Judas was brought to judgment. It was brought on his life. He knew he was going to betray his master. He had it all planned out, but yet he was sitting there going through the motions and pretending. Fully aware that there were 30 pieces of silver coins that had his name on it. Judas was a terrible, backslidden, poor conditioned person. And he was going through a religious routine. But God saw his hypocrisy. You know, sometimes we need to tell our children, you can maybe be out doing whatever you're doing. And maybe I don't see you, but God sees you. And he sees us. He knows exactly where our heart is. He knows exactly what our motives are. So this leads me to tell you that some people hide behind religious masks as double agents. They come close to the things of God. So, you know, they don't really enjoy sinning, but they do. But they're close enough to the world that spiritually they really don't like God's presence. They want to live a double life. And they want to appear to live for Christ at church, but do not live for Christ outside the church. And they should be, you know, all it takes is repentance before God and to confess their sins before ever receiving the Lord's Supper. That's all it takes is repentance, folks. Our personal relationship with Christ makes us worthy to partake in communion. Communion is a sign that you have committed your life to Christ. His blood has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. You do not need to carry any sin anymore. Scripture says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is the good news. I'm going to just share one quote with you from Charles Spurgeon. And he said, there are some sciences that can be learned with the head, but the science of Christ crucified can only be learned by the heart. So some people, and that's part of Don's testimony, he was doing all of the right things. He knew Jesus in his head, but he hadn't put him here in his heart. And, you know, when he saw and he repented, I learned I had to live with a brand new person. Romans 10, 8 through 10 tells us how we stay in relationship with Jesus. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth, you have to say it, that you confess and are saved. The good news is in verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. We don't work our way there. He paid it all. All we have to do is open our mouth and say it and believe it in our heart. There's a new song out that says, he said, I believe. He said, I believe. Christians often talk about being intimate with God. One way to be truly intimate with the Lord is to receive communion and meditate upon it. So in a moment, we're going to be doing just that. The Lord's Supper ever directs people to the cross. Let's pray out loud together. It's a simple prayer. Please pray after me out loud. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to redeem me from sin. Forgive me and cleanse me. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me and cleansing me from sin. Amen. We're going to wait for the Sunday school teachers and those of the children who take communion. And again, communion is open to all who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and who have received him as their Lord and Savior. So it is up to each of parents to, if you know that your child is able to receive communion because of their faith, that is certainly okay here. So we're going to wait just a moment so that they can come forward.